This morning we are going to look into the Word of God. And so before we begin, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, most gracious Father in heaven, how we thank Thee that we can come here safely to this campsite, even to have this youth camp, a time whereby we can come to learn of Thy Word and to encourage one another in the faith. Oh, how wonderful Thou art, that in the Lord Jesus Christ we can have this time of spiritual refreshment. And so as we come before Thee now to look into Thy Word, as we consider how Thou art the Good Shepherd and we are Thy sheep, may Thou even guide us and lead us by Thy Holy Spirit, who is also the Illuminator, that we may understand these spiritual things which are found in Thy Word. And we know that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So help us to understand and help us to even grow in our love and in our trust in Thee. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen. Today, and God willing, for the next 3 days, we will be looking at Psalm 23, which is, I believe, the most loved psalm in the Bible for many Christians. And there is a reason why this is the most loved psalm, because when you read this psalm, I believe that many of us will be highly comforted by this psalm. It is a psalm that is often recited by people when they are in the midst of troubles. I remember I had a Christian friend, and he was undergoing the exams, and then he was under great pressure, and he was testifying during fellowship how Psalm 23 was very comforting to his soul, and by the grace of God he managed to pass his exams. And I also remember how at the deathbed of an elder, he was very comforted by a hymn that was sung to him, "All the way my Savior leads me." Why? Because in that song, he was also reminded of Psalm 23, which was one of his favorite psalms. And how even in the valley of death, he has nothing to fear, because the Lord is his shepherd. And so, I think it is very wonderful and very appropriate that all of you who are young people during this week can come and meditate on Psalm 23. On what it means for the Lord to be our shepherd and for us to be His sheep. And indeed, this picture of shepherd and sheep is a dominant theme in the Holy Scriptures. And this is little wonder, because during those days, agriculture was very much a part of society. There were many who were farmers, and there were many who were shepherds. Although it may interest you to learn, even though shepherding is so important in the life of the people, the shepherds were normally one of the lowest in the strata, right? Of course, please do not think in those days that the doctors and the scientists were the highest instructor. Nowadays, we used to think that, oh, no, want to go and study. What do you want to study? I want to be a doctor. And today in the news, there was somebody so desperate enough to want to be a doctor that that when he was in the army, even left with 1 month, he decided to go to Cambridge. And then after that returned, and then he was court-martialed. At first, he will have to stay back in the army 1 month. But then now the army has decided that no, it's not 1 month. It's going to be another 18 months. Wow, not worth it. But that's how desperate people become, to become doctors and to become scientists. But in those days, no, not the doctors and the scientists, the kings, the princes, those who worked for the government and those who were the army commanders. Those were the highest in this instructor. Talk about shepherds, well, shepherds are the lowest. one of the lowest. Well, you talk about in Egypt, well, you know that the Egyptians regarded the shepherds as an abomination. Right, we read that in the books of Exodus. And even in Israel, you'll be surprised to learn that the shepherds were not looked up upon very highly. Even though if you want to have an animal for sacrifice, right, normally you need a sheep, right? You will have to get it from who? Well, you will have to get it from the shepherds. And yet they were the one of the lowest in the ranks of society. Yet very important. And it is amazing here that the Lord should be accounted to be a should be described here to be a shepherd. Now, who are the shepherds in the Bible? Now, it will be interesting to know this. I do not know how many of you actually read the weekly. Now, if you read the weekly, you will know the summary of the messages for this week. Do you all bring your weekly? Or well, some brought the weekly, some don't. There's Bible quiz, right, Pohao? Ah, very good. I think the weekly will be very helpful. Right, who are some of the shepherds in the Bible? Well, of course, the chief shepherd would be none other than God, and that would be our focus for this week. God is our shepherd. And as our shepherd, well, you'll see what he does, right? How he functions as the chief shepherd. Then besides the Lord as the chief shepherd, besides the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief, as the good shepherd in John chapter 10, well, you see that there are certain men who are also described as shepherds, and usually they are the leaders, right, in Israel, or those who are the elders and pastors in the church. How do we know this? Right, firstly, we see Moses and Aaron being described as shepherds. Turn with me to Psalm 77, verse 20. Right, these are Old Testament examples. Now, look at verse 20. Thou leadest thy people like a flock. And here the word flock here refers to a flock of sheep. Right, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And it's very interesting to note that before Moses became a shepherd, an under-shepherd for the Lord, he himself was a shepherd 40 years in the wilderness. Right, the Lord led him there. And he learned how to shepherd real sheep before he shepherded the sheep of God. Well, that is something interesting to note. Then we also have Joshua, who was also called to be a shepherd. Right, Numbers 27, verse 17. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 17. Now, let's look at the context. Okay, I will begin with verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as a sheep which have no shepherd. And so what Moses asked is basically to appoint a shepherd that will continue the word of shepherding God's people after Moses. And whom did the Lord appoint? And you look at verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Right, Joshua as the shepherd. Now, what about the New Testament? Well, the New Testament, we have the elders and the pastors who will be accounted to be under shepherds. How do we know this? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Now, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And here, right, two keywords that we need to take note. The first word, flock. And here again, the flock refers to a flock of sheep. And then the other word is the word feed, and this word feed is not the usual word for feed, but it's the word in which it's a word which refers to how a shepherd would feed the sheep, right? So, literally to shepherd the church of God. And in fact, the word pastor, right? The word pastor, right? Comes from the word pasture and has this idea of a shepherd, right? And not only here that do we see this, 1 Peter chapter 5, right? All this, please take note. 1 Peter chapter 5 and before 1 Peter chapter 5, let me find the other verse. Yes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 first. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, and here God's word says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd," right? "And bishop of your souls." So here the Lord is known as the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. And it's very interesting that in that same book, right, you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and then verse 2. And if you look at the context, it refers to the elders. The elders are commanded, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Again, the flock of God, the word flock there refers to a flock of sheep, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock of sheep. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, so you see here, right, so very clearly the elders are under shepherds, God being the chief shepherd, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Right. And so why do we mention all this? Why do we mention who is the chief shepherd and who are the under shepherds? Because when we study Psalm 23, what do we hope to gain from it? Firstly, to understand, well, of course, how the chief shepherd functions, and what are the blessings that we as his sheep shall receive? And how do we respond to these blessings? But also, importantly, that we may understand how God's under-shepherds ought to function. Because God's under-shepherds ought to be a reflection of the chief shepherd himself, isn't it? Because they are called to watch over the flock of God. And so, by studying this, well, not only is it useful for those who are called to shepherd the flock that they should study this, but that members may also understand what are the duties of a pastor and that they may know how to respond accordingly. Pastor is not meant to be a hireling. Pastors are meant to be a reflection of the good shepherd. And so these are the various things that we hope to gain out of the study of Psalm 23. Very important. And when we understand all these things, we ourselves also know what is the duty to firstly our chief shepherd, and also our duties towards those whom God has called to be an under-shepherd. And God willing, if some of you here, next time I'd be called to some form of pastoral role, and this can happen. You need not be elders and pastors to be called to some form of pastoral role. For example, some of you next time may get married, and then you may be a father or a mother, and then you may have children. Yeah, you say, yeah, right now I'm young people, please don't tell me about what it means to be mother and father. But very soon, some of you here are going to be working adults, yes? And before you know it, the children comes, and by the time you start to consider, how am I going to be a good shepherd of my children? Well, you'll be too late. Or you may be called to be leaders, executive members of maybe the Ebenezer or some other fellowship or a committee, and there are some people that are placed under your charge. How am I to be a good shepherd? How am I to fulfill this pastoral role? Well, look to Psalm 23. In fact, not only Psalm 23, but the whole scripture, and see how God functions as a good shepherd, as a chief shepherd. And that will be our example. Psalm 23 is but a summary, right, of how God functions as our shepherd. And so this, we hope to understand throughout this whole week. Now, what is the function of a shepherd? Well, of course, the function of a shepherd is, to put it simply, to look after sheep. But then you may ask, what is so difficult about looking after sheep? Well, sheep are the most unintelligent creatures in the whole world. You want to know what is the definition of foolishness? Look at the sheep. Why? Because they are one of the most dependent creatures in the whole world. They do not know firstly how to feed themselves. If you do not lead them to food, to green pastures, to water, they will just stand still and wander about. And before you know it, they will starve themselves to death. Let's say if they trip and fall, they are usually so fat, they can't even turn themselves and get themselves up again and start walking. They do not know how to defend themselves against any predators. They are totally helpless. That is the sheep for you. And so, if you really want to look after sheep, you must be very vigilant, and you must really care, must really love them and care for them very well. Must really be on guard 24 hours a day, because anytime anything can happen to the sheep. So it's not easy to look after the sheep. And if you talk about human shepherds, well, human shepherds will, despite all their vigilance and care, sometimes they will fail. Because human shepherds, whether those looking after real sheep or those looking after the sheep of God, they are weak. Their power is limited. They are not all-knowing. And those who look after the sheep of God, they are also sinners saved by grace. But we pray so. It will be a disaster, and it will be horrific if the one that is so-called appointed a shepherd or call himself a shepherd is not saved in the first place. But even if he's saved, well, he is just a sinner saved by grace. He is weak. He's not perfect. But there is one that is perfect, and that one that is perfect is the Lord. And we thank God that the Lord is indeed the good shepherd. Now, the other thing that we need to take note about looking after the sheep compared with modern days is this. When you talk about sheep in modern days, usually they will be confined in a particular area of pasture. That means, this area of land belongs to this particular shepherd, and then so he will shield it. So this whole area of grass belongs to this shepherd, and so the sheep will wander, but they will not be able to wander out of the compound. But in those days, there's no such thing as fenced up areas to guard certain areas of fields for the sheep to pasture. They will be free to wander, and they will be wander from place to place. Now, most of the times, those who are shepherds are also Bedouins. They are nomads. In other words, they live in tents and they wander from place to place. And so there's no defined area of field for the sheep to pasture. And so really, you must be on guard, because if not, the sheep will easily wander, and then you can lose your sheep. And so the sheep will be very dependent upon their shepherd. They will develop a relationship with their shepherd, and this relationship is so close that even when the shepherd just speaks, the sheep will be able to recognize the voice of the shepherd. And this is oftentimes very useful, because when you gather in a particular area, sometimes areas in the Middle East can be so dry and so arid that shepherds will flock to one particular area of grass where they know it's sprouting. And then several shepherds can be gathering in the area. And then the sheep will intermingle among one another. Now, to the eye of the observer, he will not be able to identify which sheep belongs to shepherd A or which sheep belongs to shepherd B. But lo and behold, when shepherd A just say, "Come, come my sheep," immediately all of shepherd A's sheep will just come towards the shepherd. And you'll be very surprised that shepherd A, even if he does not speak, he will be able to identify which sheep belongs to him. For us, we will not. Every sheep looks the same, but for him, he can. And then when he calls, all the sheep will just follow him, and then they will go. Now, this imagery will be very useful, God willing, when we take a look at John chapter 10 later on. Okay? Now, that is the imagery that we should keep in mind. The Lord is my shepherd. We thank God that the Lord is the good shepherd. But one thing before we can proceed from here is this. The psalm did not begin with David, who is the shepherd king. Right? He is called the shepherd king. Why? Because in Psalm 78, right, he is also called the shepherd. Right? How do we know this? Turn to Psalm 78. Now we know David begins his life as a little boy, as a shepherd. When he becomes a king, he is also called the shepherd of Israel. Psalm 78 and verses 70 to 72. And here God says, God's word says, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." Right, so David, who is king, is also called the shepherd of Israel. Right, under shepherd of the Lord. Now, it is very interesting though, that he who was a shepherd boy in the very beginning, and now who is called the shepherd of Israel, will say in this particular psalm that the Lord is shepherd. The shepherd admitting that he himself is sheep, and yet calling the Lord his shepherd. In other words, although I'm a shepherd, yet I am actually just a sheep. I am just a sheep who is called to be an under-shepherd for his other sheep. What humility demonstrated by David down here. And not only just that, but very important in this verse. He did not say the Lord is the shepherd. While that is true, indeed the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the good shepherd, which is found in John chapter 10, and most noticeably in John chapter 10, we realize that it is Jesus Christ who is uttering these words. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. But here in Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, my personal shepherd," and this is of utmost importance. Because if we do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot even begin to discuss Psalm 23. We cannot begin to discuss in verse 2 how the Lord will feed and guide the sheep. We cannot begin to discuss how the Lord will discipline and restore us. We cannot begin to discuss how the Lord will protect us and comfort us. And we cannot even begin to discuss how the Lord will prosper us even in the midst of trials and tribulations, even in the midst of our enemies. All these privileges belongs to the children of God, to the sheep of God. Those who are called by God's name. And so the question, therefore, before we can even begin to discuss Psalm 23 is the Lord your shepherd? That is the question. Are you his sheep? Are you a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is a question of paramount importance, because if you are not, then the only other alternative is you are a child of the devil. You are a sheep of the devil. You are a sheep of the father of lies. And in John chapter 10, we learn that the father of lies is described as a hireling who will not even bother to look after his sheep properly. You know the end of those who are the sheep of the devil. He is not the good shepherd. And that is something which we don't want even to begin to contemplate. And so, before we can even begin, please ask yourself first, dear young people, whose sheep are you? Are you the Lord's sheep? There will be three people in this world who will know whether you are indeed the Lord's sheep. The first, of course, is the Lord himself. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 27. In fact, look from verse 26. Not only does he know who are his sheep, he also know who are not his sheep. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I say unto you. So he knows who are not his sheep. And then in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. See that? Right? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And this word know is significant, because it's not just a cognitive know, but it is an experiential know. In other words, he knows his sheep intimately and deeply. He loves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. And so, the first person who will know who is his sheep, who belongs to the Lord, will be the Lord himself, isn't it? I know who my sheep are. Then he will be the first person to know. Second person to know will, of course, be the devil himself. Because once we are the Lord's sheep, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and straight away, the devil will seek to attack us and seek to devour us and to sieve us like wheat. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. He knows who are the elect. He knows who are the sheep, and he will attempt to deceive them. Matthew 24, verse 24. He will send his false Christ, his false prophets, isn't it? For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Right? So the devil will know, and then he will send his agents to come and deceive and to affect and to destroy the weakness of those who are the sheep of God. Lastly, of course, the one who will know whether he or she is the sheep will be the person himself. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verses 15 and verse 16. Or maybe I shall read from verse 14 instead. Okay. Let me read for everyone. Right, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Right, and so what this means simply is this. When we are born again, we are given the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God will then bear witness to our own spirit, to our own souls, telling us and assuring us, yes, you are indeed the child of God, you are indeed his sheep. So there will be three people who in this world will know that whether or not you are the sheep of God. Number one, God himself will know. Number two, Satan himself will know. Number three, you yourself will know. No other people in this world will know whether you are truly his sheep or not. The pastor will not be able to tell. He may be able to see certain signs of sheep in you, but he will not, in the end, be 100% be able to know whether you are truly his sheep. Not even your parents, not even your brothers, your sisters, not anybody in this world will know. But there are three people who will know perfectly, and that will be God, Satan, and yourself. And so the only one who can answer this question, whether you are the Lord's sheep, will be yourself. And you need to know. And I pray that by the end of this camp, you will know. Because if not, your soul is in danger. You cannot even begin to talk about Psalm 23. And if you are really not in sheep, then this exposition of this psalm would have been in vain. It does not apply to you. What applies to you, if you hold to your sin, you refuse to repent, you refuse to submit yourself to the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be what we will call the second resurrection unto condemnation, and the second death, which is being cast, which you, both body and soul, will be cast into the lake of fire and to be burned there forever and ever. That will be the end of those who are the sheep of Satan. And so, ask yourself, are you the sheep of God? One good way of knowing whether you are the sheep of God is exactly what was written just now, which we have read in John chapter 10, verse 27. The sheep will hear the voice of God, and they will follow Him. Not just hear. When they hear the voice of God, meaning they will be able to identify, right? Firstly, when I hear this particular voice, I know this is the voice of my shepherd. So they can identify, they can perceive the voice of the shepherd, and they can understand the voice of the shepherd, isn't it? And this understanding, of course, we know comes because God has given us the Holy Spirit, who will be able to help us to understand His word, right? His voice primarily comes through His word, isn't it? His word, this is the voice of God. But not only just that, but you realize the characteristic of God's sheep is that they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word follow down there is where we get the English word acolyte. Now, what is an acolyte? Basically, he is a disciple. A disciple will want to follow the master and obey his master. And that is exactly what we'll find in those who are the Lord's sheep. They will just follow him, follow wherever he goes. If you say go east, they will go east. If you say go west, they will go west. If you say do this, they will just do exactly what he says. In other words, whatever he says in his word, they will obey. And so you must ask yourself this question: what is my response when God's word is preached to me? What is the response when I read God's word? Do I really love God's word? Do I really understand and be able to perceive that this is the voice of God? What is my view of God's word? Do I have the highest view of God's word? Do I desire to obey? Do I desire to want to learn and to study His word? When I sin against God, do I then desire to return back to Him? You need to know. And in fact, when John wrote the Gospel of John as well as 1 John, one of the chief reasons why he wrote the Gospel of John and 1 John is this, that believers may know whether or not they are the children of God. And so please, I pray that everyone down here in Ebenezer, and I do not want to assume that everybody is born again, because God says in His word that in every church, by and large, there will always be sheep and goats. So please, dear young people, better make sure that you are the Lord's sheep. And if you are the Lord's sheep, then you can be very assured that the Lord is my shepherd. So who is the sheep? You are the sheep. Right? And as the sheep, you are fully dependent upon the Lord, who is your shepherd. And what assurance we have that He is our shepherd, isn't it? As mentioned just now, human shepherd will fail, but not the Lord. That is exactly what we mean by the Lord, isn't it? Jehovah, the I am, the I am, because He is the faithful covenant-keeping God. He is faithful to His promises. He is faithful to His word. And not only just that, but the word the Lord, right? This name of God, the Lord, also points to Him as the pre-existing one. He exists even before the foundation of this world. He exists even before you are born. He is the omnipotent one. He is the omnipresent one. He is the omniscient one. He is beyond comparison with anything in this world. And this person, this God, this one living and true God, is your shepherd. How wonderful, isn't it? And shepherd, we are supposed to be regarded as one of the lowest vocations among the Egyptians, among the Israelites, among people in the world during those days, yet the Lord is your shepherd. And you just think of yourself, what have I done to deserve to have the Lord as my shepherd? In my life, I've done nothing, right, before I believe in Him, I've done nothing but to rebel against Him. I'm not very handsome, I'm not very intelligent, I'm nothing compared to God, isn't it? I am His enemy, and yet He came, yet He saved me, and even when I am born again, even when I'm saved, how many times are we prone to wonder? That is the characteristic of sheep, they are prone to wonder. And yet the Lord stooped down and tells me gently, the Lord, am your shepherd. So please, young people, understand the wonderful privilege you have for the Lord to be your shepherd. Because He is the Lord, so therefore when He says that He will feast, just like in verse 2, right? I hope that you all will read the outline and remember the outline, because it's a very easy way to understand the psalm. Apo Hao, the outline. You're here, outline, eh? Because we are going to have Bible quiz. Outline, okay? So outline. Because the Lord is the Lord, right? Simply because He is the Lord. So therefore, when He says He feeds, He will surely feed, isn't it? If He says that He will restore, He will discipline, He will surely restore and He will surely discipline. If He says that He will protect and He will comfort, right? The shepherd will comfort, my shepherd who comforts. So therefore, He will surely comfort. If He says that He will prosper the believer, even in the midst of trials and tribulations and in the midst of enemies, He will surely be able to do it and He will surely be faithful to His word. And not only just that, but because He is the Lord, and He is eternal, and He changes not, so therefore, I, who am His sheep, I know that goodness and mercy will surely follow me all the days of my life. Because the Lord is eternal. Human shepherds will die, right? One day, all human shepherds will die. And when human shepherds die, and let's say if nobody takes over to look after the sheep will also die with them. But, the Lord is eternal. And so, all these things that are listed from verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they apply to me forever, for eternity. How wonderful, isn't it? This relationship I have with my shepherd is a close and intimate one. And this relationship is one that will last forever. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, so therefore, David says, I shall not want. And here the word, I shall not want, the word want, right, is actually a verb, right? I shall want, right? And then the word not is listed there, right? It's put in to negate the whole clause, right? The word want there refers to lack, right? I shall not lack. There's nothing in this world that I lack. I find my sufficiency in Him. So, here describes David in a state of satisfaction in his Lord. There's nothing else that I desire in this world. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. And here, this statement, I shall not want, is written emphatically because it is written with the same force that you will find in the Ten Commandments. I shall absolutely not lack in anything. I am sufficient in Him. And so if you just put me in this world and I have nothing else, I just have the Lord and I just have myself, I will be the happiest man in this world because of the close relationship I have in my Lord. And because He is the Lord, I have everything. I don't have no lack. And this was indeed David's experience as he goes about as the shepherd king, isn't it? In the beginning, when David was called to be the king, and then later on he was put to serve in the courts of Saul, very soon people were able to see that this young David was somebody that's exceptional. The Lord was with him and he is going to be the next king. Even King Saul himself could see. And that's why King Saul went about to kill David. And when David went from place to place, he really truly feared for his life. And he had to hide in caves, he had to hide in forests. Sometimes he had no place even to stay. And then the men that came with him, please do not think that they all of the men, they were men of bravery and they were very valiant and they were the most noble men in the country. In fact, many of the men that followed David, they had an agenda. Why? Because they were people who were prisoners of the nation and they took advantage of the political situation. Oh, now there is a breakaway king. Let me follow David. These were the men that were following David. These were the conditions David faced. And yet in the midst of all these difficulties, in the midst of all these conditions, David could say, I shall not want. So please, when we say, I shall have no lack, it doesn't mean that our lives will be without difficulties, without problems, without trials, without tribulations. What it means is that even when these problems, even when these difficulties, even with these trials, even with these tribulations, even when my road appears not to be easy, yet, I have no lack. And why is it that I have no lack in my Savior? Because firstly, because when you talk about the Lord who is our shepherd, and we know that this good shepherd, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, has he not given his life for us? That is exactly what is stated in John chapter 10 also, isn't it? The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. You who were his enemy, he died for you. He came to this world, he took on the form of the servant, he lived and then he kept the 10 commandments for you and then he died for you, he shed his precious blood for you, he was buried and then he rose again from the dead. So that we who are his enemies, we who do not love him in the first place, he set his love upon us and then after that he rose again from the dead so that we may have justification of sins. This salvation is already given to you. And because of that, your salvation is now assured. Once you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, once you are justified, you will be kept and you will be preserved by God all the way until glorification. Victory over sin and death is guaranteed. What there is there to lack? What there is there to lack? We are also guaranteed a place in heaven. A place where there is no sin. A place where there is no sorrow. A place where there is no pain. We are also guaranteed fellowship with God in heaven forever and ever, whereby we can praise Him and praise Him with all joy. Praise Him in the state of peace that we have with God. What is there that we need anymore? Sadly, this is something that many of us, sometimes we forget, isn't it? We live in a society where a lot of things is often not enough. Yes? True? One of the famous films which Singapore is famous of, and which even Lee Hsien Loong find very proud about is, money not enough, correct? Not enough, right? Which is exactly the antithesis of this statement here, I shall not want. Money not enough. And so we always go about and then when we, of course young people sometimes this does not hit them until they want to buy their computer game, then money not enough, right? True? True or not? Want to buy computer game and then mommy say, no, you have enough of computer games, moreover this game I don't think is good for you and then after that you complain, yeah, my mommy don't want to give me pocket money and so therefore money not enough. If not, this thing doesn't seem to strike our mind, right? Because every time we have mommy give pocket money and then so when you go to the canteen and then you buy, what is the average price of food now? Okay, let me ask the teacher. Shu Ping, what's the average price of food in primary school? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, like, yours not exactly, okay, yours different. Okay, never mind. Clyde!
Me?
How much?
Primary school.
No, secondary school. Now you primary school or secondary school now?
Average.
Around $2, right? Okay, so when you pay $2, do we even consider where we get the $2 from? No, right? Because mommy give, and then we just did not cross our mind how hard mommy or daddy must work. And then we just pay the $2, wow, eat. And then still not enough for $2 because now I am a growing boy, I need to eat more. So order one plate of rice, then order another plate, and then eat. And then after that, take bus also need money, right? Correct, not? Because now we don't consider whether to spend money because all what? All card. Tea go in already. True, and then some of you student pass. Student pass, all the more, even better. Don't even see deduction. Just put there, student pass, go in. Right, true? Until start to work. Very soon, Hong Hao and Po Hao will know. I start to work. Then the reality of life will hit home. Wow, money not enough. Yeah, Desmond? Money not enough. See, he knows. Money not enough. True, that is a common complaint of adults. For children, maybe a lot of things not enough. Computer game not enough. Clothes not enough. What else not enough? Food not enough? Yes? What else not enough? A lot of things we desire and we want, right? And still without those things, we cannot do, we cannot live, right? I cannot live. It's this latest clothes, latest dress that is on the shopping center, that window there. Right, ladies, go there. Wow, the shopping center, this particular dress, latest fashion one. No? I will also check. Wow. Okay, Tabernacle BP Church is quite conservative. Let me check. Okay, sleeve, okay, pass. Length, okay, pass. Wow. And then, based on latest fashion, wow, very hard to find this kind of dress, you know. Wow. So everything can go to church and then still look very modern and trendy. Wow, but then cost $200, no? Wow. Wow, I wish this one can have. And then cannot have. Hiya. Now my friends are going to laugh at me. How dude I look at in school. Yes, not enough. Not enough. I'm not satisfied with my clothes. True? Or perhaps it may even come when we receive our results. We work very hard. We think that we want to land that dream job, or into that dream course, or into that dream school, or perhaps not even that. This particular girl or boy, very clever, you know. In order to attract this particular girl and boy, I must study very hard, so that he will be very impressed with my results. True or not? True or not? Yes, teens? No! Never mind, some of you are still too young. We'll see when you get to university. Because I know a few friends of mine who are like that. This girl, you know, top of the class, no. In fact, I know one of the one deacon I know last time. He was last in the, he was last, and then the his wife now was actually the top in the school. The time he was an unbeliever, so he went all the way to tackle her in this kind of ways. Must get this kind of result so that this girl attracted to me. And then when cannot get, not satisfied with life, What does it mean to be a Christian? My life has lost, has no hope, has no meaning, has nothing. Come back, all the results, I expected all A1s, in the end, all C6. Which course can I go to? What, you mean now I have to end off as a test tube washer? You know test tube, right? You know what is a test tube, right? All of you here, secondary school, except maybe David. David, you know what is a test tube? Don't know yet, Okay. Later I task Matthew, Matthew, or both Matthews, either one of the Matthew. You go and ask them, okay? Can I, David? You go and ask them, because you like science, David? You like science, right? Science student must know what is a test tube. You go and ask them what is a test tube, okay, David? Okay, ask them to teach you, the rest here all know what is a test tube, right? Last time the EDB director says if you get a master's in life science, you can only wash a test tube. That only qualifies you. So, how many of you here are masters right now? Masters? Any masters? No! You're older than masters! You can't even wash a test tube because you get masters in life science, you wash a test tube. I cannot get masters! Look, now I only get C6 already in O level, N level, whatever level. I only get C6. I cannot get masters. I feel like dying, no hope in this life. But then the scripture says, I shall not want. That will be the test. Do remember when David wrote this psalm. Now, we do not know when he wrote this psalm, but whether he wrote it in the beginning or whether he wrote it at the end, we know that the experiences which David had gone through were very difficult and very trying. If this has been written at his, at the time when he was king, he would have experienced running away. He would also have experienced being king. Now, and so it would be two very different ends of the spectrum. Right? Being a fugitive and also being the highest ranking official of the nation. And yet, he says, the only thing that thrills my soul and I desire and I find all sufficient in it is the Lord. If everything in the world is taken away, you give me only Jesus Christ. That is enough. Because in Jesus Christ, I truly have enough. I don't lack anything. And so let us ask ourselves, and that will be one of the discussion questions later on, and I think you should focus on that discussion question very much. In the light of this statement, I shall not want, how shall we live our lives as children, as the sheep of God? Whether be it at home, whether be it in school, whether be it at work. Question. Should Christians have ambitions? Yes or no? Maybe that can be added as an appendix to the question. Should Christians have ambition or not? In the light of this, right? Do all of you have ambitions? Yes? What is your ambition? Let me ask Bevan. Bevan, what's your ambition? Chairman, any ambition? Not yet, Oh, I must ask the primary school. Primary school one normally have. Okay, David, any ambition? No, You don't know what you all want to be, You mean nobody say want to be a firefighter, policeman, or what teacher, or professor, or what? No. Or for the ladies, I do not know, because I'm not a lady. Ladies, what do you all like to be? Yes? How about Sarah? Any ambition? Want to be anything? Desired course to go to in school? Yes? Do you have desired courses? Yes? What if the Lord leads somewhere different? I shall not want. May these words ring true in our life, that when we say and when we go about, even if one day we may find ourselves like the martyrs of old, without food, without water, and then we are left all alone in this world. Yet because I know that I have this intimate and close relationship with the Lord, who has already given me His all, I already know that I have enough. It is sufficient. Because everything is secured for me in my Savior, who feeds me, who guides me, who restores me, who disciplines me, who protects me, who comforts me, who delivers me, who provides and prospers me even in the time of adversity. What more have I to ask beside thee? Let us pray. Most gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for these comforting words that we have in thy scripture. How David, as the shepherd boy, so proclaims that thou art his shepherd. And we too, who are called to be thy children, can also proclaim this same truth. Oh, how wonderful thou art. And even as we end this session, O Lord, we pray that you will help us even to understand the depth and the beauty of these words that you have given to us for our learning. That truly in this life, may it be true that all that thrills our souls is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our humble cry in the most blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.